If you travel, you know how to pull off a perfect getaway. You know, after you enroll with your Delta SkyMiles Platinum American Express card, you get up to $10 back monthly on U.S. rideshare purchases with select providers, like a car to the airport. You know which remote retreats have the best herbal baths and where the Wi-Fi password is rarely used. Because you're the escape artist. It's why you're a Delta SkyMiles Platinum American Express card member. If you travel, you know. Terms apply. Purchases must be on card. Visit go.amex/you know.
Welcome to the Hawks Talk Podcast. I'm Pat Boyle from CSN, joined by Tracy Myers from CSNChicago.com. Before we get started, can't get enough of Chicago sports. Visit Chicago's own Vivid Seats to receive 10% off Blackhawks tickets and all other sports, music, and entertainment. Go to vividseats.com/CSNshy. Hey, Tracy, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good, thanks. Been a lot of fun following this team since, like, I don't know, late January now.
Yeah.
Been on a roll here last night, picking up a point against Vancouver. Not exactly the formula you would like to see, but let's start with the goalie interference. Mm-hmm. Scott Darling was emphatic. He said, you know, I know the rules. Bad call. He felt Henrik interfered with his blocker and prevented him from at least trying to attempt to stop Daniel's shot. Just your thoughts on that particular goalie interference and goal.
Yeah, I understand what he's saying, and you know, he had a problem with him being in the crease and limiting his movement and everything. So I understand what he was saying. I actually was looking at the same thing that he said the officials were looking at when they were reviewing, because he, you know, there was some
contact with his head,
and that's honestly what I was looking at.
Right.
Because some of the other views, I thought, okay, you know, that's what you're seeing. I understand where he's coming from. I understand what the league is trying to do. I think what it comes down to is, you know, are you looking at the whole play? You know, like Darling said, they were looking at one aspect, or it seemed like they were looking at one aspect, and they might have missed the whole point of what he was talking about. So, you know, some of these things, there's still so much gray area.
Yeah.
I think with a lot of these, and so it's just trying to figure out your way out of the gray sometimes.
Right, and gray area is never good.
No.
Big picture for sports fans, for teams.
Yeah.
You know, especially in a sport where, you know, one goal usually decides it. Certainly in the Stanley Cup playoffs, it seems to be that way. My issue wasn't so much on the game-winning goal against Vancouver. I took issue with the penalty that set up the power play that resulted in the game-winning goal.
Yeah.
Jonathan Toews gets pushed from behind by Alex Edler and goes into Ryan Miller. You know, he's kind of, his momentum's already going towards the net. He gets pushed from behind.
Right.
I just don't know what a player is supposed to do if they get leaned on or pushed by a defender into the goalie. I'm not exactly sure how they, you can't stop once you're in motion and you're, you know, half a foot from the goalie.
Yeah, exactly. And I agree with you. You know, it reminded me of, to go back to that Minnesota game on February 8th, which had a couple interesting calls to it, an offside call. But there was a time when Minnesota got called for goaltending interference. Well, it just so happened that Brian Campbell had pushed a player into Crawford, but it was called. You know, is it because they catch the end of it and didn't see the start of it? I don't even want to think about replaying every penalty, because, my God, the games will be 5 hours. But there's no doubt it was a miscall. It was a call that was incorrect, and that set everything up. But, you know, it's a job that I wouldn't want to have, just as difficult as it is you've got to make sure you're seeing everything. You've got to make sure you're making the correct call. And unfortunately, stuff like this comes down. You could look at the Blackhawks and say, okay, they got 6 power plays last night. They scored on 2 of them. But they got 6 opportunities on their own side. But it's not always about getting the opportunities. Is, you know, if you missed a call, you missed a call. And,
right.
And unfortunately, yeah, it set up what ended up being the game-winning goal.
We saw Ryan Hartman get bumped to center Kane and Panarin. Certainly not his normal spot.
But
Ryan Hartman's accepted every challenge that's been presented.
Yeah.
He's played now on every line. You know, was that more because Q liked what he's been seeing from Ryan, and that basically they need net front presence on that line. That's what Anisimov brings to that line.
Right.
And that's not exactly Schmaltz's game, right?
No, I like Schmaltz's vision most of the time. I like the more confidence that he's shown. Faceoffs are an issue we've talked about. I think Hartman won a couple last night, which if he shows that to any degree, they'll keep him there. But there's no doubt. Yeah, the two things you're going to miss with Anisimov are faceoffs. He's hovering around 50%. It could be better, but still. And like you said, the net front presence. He's a big body who doesn't mind paying the price. And he was consistently doing that from start until his latest injury, which is what the Blackhawks had been looking for. And Hartman is another one that will do that. He doesn't have that fear. Quenneville trusts him. I asked Quenneville after the game. I said, obviously, you think highly of this guy because you're putting him in a critical situation. He's on the ice with a minute left. He's a rookie. And yet, he comes through. So I absolutely think it's part because of what Hartman has done. It's a reward. Quenneville loves to see who he can move around and everything like that. And if this happens, I think Hartman told reporters last night he hasn't played center since the OHL, but still that's close enough. But if it works, even for this short amount of time until Anisimov is back, why not give it a shot?
Yeah, Q's going to have, when Anisimov comes back, he's going to have some really tough decisions to make.
Yeah.
One guy that has pushed himself into the mix that 2 weeks ago we didn't really think would figure in was John Hayden.
Right.
This kid has impressed. Mm-hmm. He brings a skill set that the team doesn't have a lot of. Big.
Right.
Big and physical.
Yeah.
And, oh, by the way, some scoring touch as well.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a kind of a nice combination.
Yeah.
And what do you think the realistic expectations are? Because, it's a small sample size, but I thought Tave said it great. I don't know if it was after the Toronto game when he scored or what, but it's like when you score early in your NHL career, it gives you the confidence that you belong. Mm-hmm. And, remember Hinostroza took some time, and then that doubt creeps in and you can't wait to just get. But when you score in your second NHL game,
right.
It must ease the tension and allow you to get to work and not think about, do I belong?
Oh, absolutely. And I talked to Hayden about a couple things the other day. That was one of them. In terms of when he was thrown into the lineup, he had one practice in Montreal, and off he went.
Yeah.
There was no time to think, which in this particular case might have been a very good idea. Hayden said it himself. He's like, you play with Jonathan Toews, he kind of makes it easy out there. But, we've seen in the past where they've put guys with Toews,
it's not that easy because they've run about 14 guys in and out of that lineup. So it's not – that sounds good, but I know what he's saying, but we both know that's not reality.
Right. But the thing about this kid, and you go back, I go back to when I talked to him last summer during prospect camp, and he said, listen, there were tons of opportunities for forwards, for a young forward last year coming into this lineup. I mean, there were holes all over the place because of all the overhaul. Would have been very easy for John Hayden to say, you know what, I'm going to go this year. I'm going to try it. He thought he needed another year, and he was a captain of that team at Yale. He had a very nice year. He got a little faster. He got a little stronger, got a little more mature. So I think that extra year for him, he hit a bunch of the goals that he was looking for to personally improve his game. He, was in a system that gets you ready for this, to be a four-year player and everything. So I think that's part of it, too, is that he took that extra year, even though maybe it cost him a couple months of getting an opportunity here, but he's getting it now. So it was absolutely worth him to go that fourth year because he accomplished everything he wanted to, and he's coming a lot more ready.
And I think the Hawks have learned from recent years, how to handle some of these guys that are in college, their prospects. And look, the reality is this: they need entry level contract guys on their team because of the top dollars they're paying the core guys.
Sure.
So you really got a hit on your entry-level guys.
Yeah.
And, I mean, they've hit. They've hit a lot. I mean, there's guys in Rockford. Mm-hmm. Vinny Hinostroza is probably wondering, what do I need to do? What can I get back? And he will, and we'll see him up here eventually. But I have to credit the Hawks for, whether it's Mark Kelly, Stan, the entire hockey ops side of kind of how they're identifying – these prospects and letting them know, like, we do have a game plan for you. We are going to take care of you. Right. You grab, you know, final game, boom, contract. Here's your opportunity.
Right, right. And Tyler Mott, you know, we have to remember him, too, because he showed so much promise and showed so many good things, and then he had that injury, and it, you know, his game kind of disappeared for a little bit. I think he's gotten it back in Rockford. So does he, you know, come up with the aces at the end, and, mm-hmm. and who knows? So they definitely bulked up in the system again, which they had to.
Yeah.
You know, they've lost a lot of prospects, draft picks and everything over the last couple of years, you know, with trades and everything like that. So they had to do something. I like what they've done. You've got a guy like Hartman, who they gave him time in Rockford to develop his game, you know. And when I was talking to Stan, this was back in January, right before they really got hot, I said, are you surprised at what some of these kids have done? And he said, well, not so much with Hinostroza and Hartman at the time. He said, because they've been prepping for this for a while. They've had a year or two in Rockford, so they've been getting that pro game under their belts, even if it wasn't with the Blackhawks. You're there in the American League, and you're working and everything. It's all a process, and you have to be patient with some of these guys, which in some cases they have been, and Hayden's another one. Hey, if he wanted to go back to school, if he felt he needed to, fine, we'll see you when you're done. And here we are. But I like what, like you said, the development has been there for a lot of these guys, and it's pretty impressive what some of them have been able to do.
So, and the reality now is, you know, Joel, once everybody's healthy, is going to have some tough decisions to make.
Yeah.
I mean, you look at Dennis Rasmussen, mm-hmm. you look at Thomas Yurko, you look at Andrew Desjardins, you look at Tutu, mm-hmm. And again, Hinostroza, Mott, guys that come up with the aces. I mean, those are all guys that at different points of this year have made impacts.
Yeah.
They all have different things. You know, if you're playing a heavier team, okay, that makes sense that Tutu would be in the lineup.
Sure.
But, like, you know, I can't remember in recent years as many tough decisions forward-wise as Joel's going to have to make this year.
Well, he didn't have them last year.
Right.
For certain, because it, you know, when we look back at last year, and kudos to the Blackhawks for getting in, and they just about got through that first round.
Sure.
So close. A ping here and a ping there from Seabrook, and they're going to the second round. It was not a deep forward team. And we thought the same thing when we came in this year, too. I didn't see Hartman having almost 20 goals. I didn't see Ponick having 20 goals. Hossa's resurgence, you know, they finally found a top line. Schmaltz came back and played very well. Things came together very, very nicely for these guys. But there's no doubt, they've got some decisions, which for Quenneville, this is a good thing. I mean, it's a good thing for any team. If you've got a situation where you've got too many guys, you know, I mean, you want to make the right combinations, but it's a heck of a lot better to have that depth and the options, and I personally think Rasmussen should be in more. That's just my personal opinion. But, you know, you've got the options, and you've got some things that you can work around, because last year you didn't have this. You pretty much had to go with the lineup you had, and it wasn't enough.
Quick update on Artem Anisimov. I saw him in the hallway yesterday during the game. He had kind of like a walking cast that went up three quarters of the way.
Yeah.
So I don't know if it's ankle, high ankle. It's somewhere in that region.
Yeah.
But just briefly talking to him, you know, to echo what Joel said, still on track. I said, do you think you'll get a couple of games before the Stanley Cup playoffs to return a lineup? He said he thought so. So,
yeah.
I mean, that's about as encouraging as we can get right now.
And he's a guy, I mean, if you get him in the last one or two, three games in the regular season, great. If not, he's been there before, so it's not this overwhelming worry. You know, you want that guy healthy and perfectly ready to go. But, you know, like we were talking about earlier, you definitely miss him. You miss him up the center. You miss the almost that second sense, or that sixth sense, sorry, I'm four senses off there, that he has with Kane and Panarin. They feed off each other. They know where each other is and everything. But, no, I think it's encouraging. I mean, he's on same pace. Quenneville says he's status quo. There's no change. He's 2 to 3 weeks away. So, you know, as long as there's no setback, you just give him the time he needs.
More with Tracy Myers on the Hawks Talk podcast coming up. I'm going to ask Tracy about the goalie tandem of Corey Crawford and Scott Darling. Have they been more impressive to Tracy than Corey and Ray Emery were the 2013 campaign? And then we'll also get her thoughts on the NHL scoring race and Kane's chances for that when the Hawks Talk podcast continues.
It's sports, it's social, it's viral. It's Luke Stuckmeyer and Layla Rahimi, and it's the Next Generation Sports Show. In the Loop, every night at 6:30, 10, and 10:30 on CSN Chicago. And as soon as the show ends, turn to Facebook Live for the after show.
If you travel out of the area for work, no worries. Take the Blackhawks on the go, no matter where you are within the continental United States. Stream every CSN Blackhawks game live online at csnchicago.com and with the NBC Sports app on your mobile or tablet.
CSN Sports Talk Live podcast brings you the freshest takes and boldest insights on the hottest topics of the day. David Kaplan leads the conversation with a rotating panel of writers, reporters, and personalities. Don't miss a single episode. Subscribe at csnchicago.com/podcasts today.
Back on the Hawks Talk podcast, Pat Boyle from CSN, Tracy Myers from csnchicago.com. All right, we got into this debate on Blackhawks pregame live, because, you know, that's what we do on these types of shows. And so I said to Steve, what's been more impressive, Corey Crawford and Scott Darling this year, or Corey Crawford and Ray Emery from the 2013 year? And if you look at the numbers, they're eerily similar. They're fantastic for all the goalies in both of the campaigns we're talking about. But slight edge to Crawford. His save percentage is slightly better in 2013, and his goals against slightly better than it is this year. And Ray Emery had a better goals against than Scotty did. Scott has the nod in save percentage. So your thoughts on just what's been more impressive, this year's tandem or the tandem you saw in 2013 between Emery and Crawford?
You know, that's tough. That's really difficult. I guess the lockout year to a degree is always going to be a bit skewed.
Yes.
Because it's 48 games.
Right.
Because they just hit the ground running and much shorter schedule. Was that team deeper? Yeah, I would say so. And you factor that in, even though I hate when people say, oh, the goalie's as good as a team in front of them. To a degree, yes. You know, you benefit from that. It's a tough call. You know, I think they've both been very good this year. Darling and Crawford have been very good this year. I know last night was a rough one. Depends on who you ask.
Yeah.
Q said it was, you know, they didn't give up much, which seems to sound like, you know, Corey had a rough night. And Darling said, no, they were all grade A chances. I think the truth is somewhere in between, personally. And Crawford has never done well, not that this is an excuse, but he's never done well facing very few shots. He's great at 30 or above. Bad night, throw it out. It's a tough call, and you can see the chemistry in both situations. You know, Emery and Crawford got along great together. Crawford said he learned so much from Emery in the time that he was here, because Crawford used to be part of that pregame soccer match back in the day.
Yeah.
And, you know, Emery was so focused and went off into a corner by himself to prepare and everything, and Crawford kind of took that up himself and started doing the same thing and everything, and I don't know if that's part of the reason why the numbers improved, but they did. It's a tough call. I think I would lean toward Crawford and Darling now, just because the workload is tougher. You're talking about a full season. You've talked about some injuries, which have been, you know, they've missed some key guys. And with as much hockey as they have played, slight edge. But, yeah, not a bad comparison.
Take a look at the NHL scoring race. Patrick Kane certainly in the mix. Mm-hmm. You got Brad Marchand. You got Connor McDavid.
Yeah.
Sidney Crosby. It's going to be a fight to the finish here. Do you think, I mean, you've been around Patrick so much over the years. Do you think the race to be, you know, the Art Ross Trophy winner 2 years in a row means anything to him?
I think any achievement means a lot to these guys. I think the team ones mean more. Yeah, I mean, if he wins it, I think he'll be happy. I don't think it's first and foremost in his mind, and that's just me. I think having won it last year meant so much because he was so close the year before doing it and then broken collarbone, and that was the end of that. So I think it was just that finally getting that award meant a lot. This year, I don't know if it's going to be something that would bother him if he didn't win it 2 years in a row, because I mean the competition, like you said, is tremendous. Last year he kind of won it running away. You know, Jamie Benn, I think, was 20 points. He was a bunch behind. I think he appreciates the competition for what it is, and if he wins, great. If not, no big deal.
Tracy Myers, great stuff as always. Follow her on Twitter. You can always catch her work at csnchicago.com. We will see you Thursday night at the United Center.
Yep.
When Patrick Sharp and the Dallas Stars, your old team that used
my
to cover.
My old stomping ground, yes.
When they come to the West Side. We'll have that game for you on CSN. Our coverage begins with Blackhawks pregame live at 7 o'clock. Thanks for listening to the Hawks Talk podcast, and we'll see you next time. Can't get enough of Chicago sports? Visit Chicago's own Vivid Seats to receive 10% off Blackhawks tickets and all of their sports, music, and entertainment. Go to vividseats.com/CSNshop.
If you travel, you know when it comes to love.
See you soon.
Can't wait.
The sky is no limit. You know with your Delta Amex card, being oceans apart means meeting in Aruba. And booking a war travel with your card means saving 15% on Delta flights. You know kissing under the bridge of sighs guarantees eternal love. Because you're the long-distance lovebirds. It's why you're a Delta SkyMiles Platinum American Express card member. If you travel, you know. Take off 15 discount not applicable to partner-operated flights or taxes and fees. Terms apply. Visit go.amex/you know.